I'm half surprised that instead of that advert on the Globe, it wasn't just like a big list of all their customers and their names and their email addresses, like just blast it out to the rest of Las Vegas.
Why don't they just buy it? Like, if they're cash flow positive, why don't they accept it for payment? Like, why are you guys giving them money to go buy Bitcoin that isn't yours if you have faith in Bitcoin? I just don't understand this.
Bitcoin's about transparency. If you have nothing to hide, you can prove it, you know, on the blockchain. So what's the issue?
Australia's falling apart. What we were talking, what was it? Unrealized capital gains we were just talking about a week or two ago. I mean, they are just
it's a mess. It's a mess down under.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Rick is back. I've got Tony here. Guys, I'm dialing in from my phone in Las Vegas, have some internet issues, so apologize for any little mishaps we have, but let's jump right into the news here. Up first, Jason Williams going parabolic on X says, just in, Vegas Sphere immediately starts leaking once the Ledger advertisement was displayed. Engineers state they're working on the leaks and everyone is safe. More to come. Great tweet. We're not going to talk about that tweet. We can have a laugh about it. But the next one is this crazy story. Fake Ledger Live app discovered targeting Mac OS users. So basically, these phishing campaigns are installing a fake Ledger Live app for Ledger users, asking for their seed phrase, and people are getting their Bitcoin stolen in that way, and probably other crypto assets. But, you know, who cares about that stuff? Tony, it feels like the scams, the cyber attacks just keep coming. What do you think is going on here? And what would your advice be to anyone who's listening?
Absolutely, man. There's a reason why we don't recommend such products, you know, at the Bitcoin way. These are products that, in my opinion, are fully compromised. You cannot trust them. And in Ledger's defense, though, I mean, they're so popular because they were like the first movers in the space that there's so many people using their products. So it would make sense for them to be always, you know, primarily targeted, you know, as for these scams, simply because it's a bigger honeypot of users, right? But that's not to say that their product is not lacking in, you know, super security functions and what have you, because clearly they've been breached many, many times. And this last one, this macOS clone app, is a very, very elaborate and dangerous one, because apparently it looks identical to the Ledger app itself. And since most people, you know, are not coming from a tech background, you know, they rely on what visually is familiar. And if that's something they inadvertently click on and download, well, they're going to realize, you know, 30 seconds later that it was, you know, the wrong thing to have, and their money is going to be completely wiped out. It's very, very unfortunate. But again, these things, these attempts to steal Bitcoin is only going to continue to rise. Like we've said this many times, the more Bitcoin pumps in value, the more you can expect these attempts to steal it. So if you're not doing your homework, you're not, you know, taking proper Bitcoin self-custody, if you're being flippant about the process, if you think you can figure it out when you don't really know what you're doing, all you're doing is gambling with your money. And at some point, something like this is going to come along and, you know, give you that, you know, wake-up call that you so desperately need. Do not take it. There's no need for it. There are plenty of experts, you know, available out there. We're one of them. Of course, we will handhold anyone through the entire process to help you protect your funds and to get it right the first time. There's no need to guess about anything. Otherwise, if you're the do-it-yourself, please do, you know, your research and find out, you know, what's good, what's bad. Look into these companies. Closed source products that protect your money is absolutely not the way to go. Doesn't matter how user-friendly they are. The trade-off is your security is on the line, as we can clearly see in this horrific story. The ironic thing is that they're advertising now on this big sphere that they are the most secure wallet in the world. Talk about karma, you know, playing a bad joke on you. Just no be careful, man. Folks.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Rick, what's your take?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll give people who are newer like a little bit of context, right, about that first funny tweet and why the guy was saying the words leak so much. And that's because, as Tony's alluded to, you know, Ledger's had a really checkered past. One of those incidents that they suffered is they lost everybody's KYC information. And then loads of people who had bought, you know, ledgers, unfortunately, you know, were targeted by hackers and in some cases in physical attacks in places where the law allowed them to look up their address. So, you know, that's not me making a big claim like a ledger is not a secure device, right? Like I don't know and nobody knows because it's closed source. But like a company that is selling you a security product that has a history of getting their cybersecurity wrong and not letting you see inside it not being open source, that should be enough for you to say, I do know what, there's probably a better way to go about this, which is, you know, there's loads of really great open source products out there. So yeah, definitely like maybe think twice. I mean, I'm half surprised that instead of that advert on the Globe, it wasn't just like a big list of all their customers and their names and their email addresses, like just blasted out to the rest of Las Vegas, right? And as for the clone of the app, yeah, I mean, like Tony says, like, look, this is going to get, as the price goes up, the attacks are going to get more and more sophisticated. I mean, I remember, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, you'd get emails trying to fish you for your Bitcoin, but they'd be like badly written and really obviously like scam emails, like easy to ignore. But now these hackers, because the prize is so large, can actually justify investing, building these very sophisticated clones and apps that trick people. And here's the big takeaway for me, right? Is kind of regardless of what hardware you're using, the big mistake that people made when they went to this false app was typing their seed phrase into it, right? And look, that the gap there is less about the hardware and more about knowing like what information you should share and what information you should never, ever, ever type into a keyboard on your laptop or anything, right? So you can't solve Bitcoin security just by spending money on things, right? Like you could buy 100 hardware wallets and spend loads of money on them. But if you don't learn how to use it properly, how Bitcoin works, what a seed phrase is, why it's important, you have to bridge that gap as well. You can't spend your way out of it. You have to learn some stuff along the way. And like Tony says, you can do that yourself. And there are tons of great resources, but it might take you a bit of time to filter through like what's good information, what's bad information. Or you can find professionals like at the Bitcoin Way who will guide you through it step by step and really shorten that journey and increase your confidence a lot more quickly. So yeah, like Tony says, it's a real shame for Ledger to post that advert. I mean, I don't know what that costs, right? I don't know if you boys have looked into what it would cost to put a Bitcoin Way logo on there, but my guess is a fair stack. So to have that happen, yeah, I don't know. It's quite, like you say, karma, quite amusing.
Yeah, my takeaway on all this, I think you guys covered just about everything. So just to reiterate, so the Bitcoin Way, we don't quote unquote recommend devices. We have a handful that we support. We don't point you in one direction over the other, but there are only a few. And I think that's important. So when you work with the Bitcoin Way, like you are presented with very, very good options and nothing else. The other thing is just a reminder, we talked about this, I can't remember, Tony, what episode it was last week when Rick was out, but don't enter your seed phrase. If it's not being stamped into metal, it should not be written or recorded or input anywhere. So that's my big takeaway. We can't reiterate that enough. Don't give up your seed phrase. All righty, guys, let's talk about Michael Saylor on Proof of Reserve. So here's a quick clip and we'll talk about it.
Hey, Mr. Saylor, huge fan of Edifaith Guy. Does Strategy have any plans to publish their on-chain proof of reserves?
Yeah, proof of reserve is an interesting thing. Let me make the following point. A lot of people learn stuff from FTF, could not GOX, but I'm not sure they learned the things that the institutional community needs to learn going forward. The way that the current conventional way to publish proof of reserves is an insecure proof of reserves. It actually dilutes the security of the issuer, the custodians, the exchanges, and the investors. It's not a good idea. It's a bad idea. It's like publishing the address and the bank accounts of all your cakes and your phone numbers of all your cakes, and then thinking somehow that makes your family better. It doesn't make your family better. So no institutional grade or enterprise security analyst would think it's a good idea to publish all of the wallet addresses such that you can be traced.
back and forth and every future transaction you trace.
I said, go to AI, put in deep think mode, and then ask it, what are the security problems of publishing your wallet addresses? And how might they undermine the security from it over time? It'll write you a book. It'll be 50 pages of security problems. So the problem with proof of reserves, the way people do it right now, is it's first of all, it's a proof of assets that is insecure, and it is not a proof of liabilities.
Alrighty, so Michael Saylor has his concerns with the modern rendition of sharing proof of reserves. I have no comment yet. I want to hear what you guys have to say. Tony, why don't you take this one first as well?
Man, I'm a little torn about Michael Saylor. I mean, on the one hand, he was a great, you know, force in the Bitcoin space, at least in the very early days. I personally remember listening to him and learning a lot from him. He was a very positive force, you know, of motivation and encouragement and of generally good advice. But lately, it seems like he somehow lost his way. This is not the first blunder that, you know, he's found himself, you know, entangled with. And I don't know if that's intentional or there's something else going on. But, you know, either way, I mean, it started a little while back when he made this absolutely ridiculous comment that self-custody is only for, crypto anarchists or for reckless people or something along those lines, which was complete rubbish. And then fast forward, you know, a little bit forward to that, and he started talking about Bitcoin simply as digital gold, right? And completely foregoing the whole medium of exchange. And it makes you wonder why someone would change their pitch, right? And now with his latest comment about proof of reserves being insecure, which is absolutely ludicrous. It couldn't be like the farthest thing from the truth. For me, that raises serious concerns and many, many red flags. I mean, what is going on here? Is he being coerced into saying complete rubbish? Is he hiding something? I mean, we don't know for sure, but something is not aligned in the messages that he's been publicly making. And we're not the only ones who caught on to this. I mean, the entire Twitter space is up in arms over this remark that makes absolutely no sense. In my opinion, every institution that deals with Bitcoin must absolutely provide proof of reserves. How else are you going to establish the trust? Bitcoin is about transparency. If you have nothing to hide, you can prove it, you know, on the blockchain. So what's the issue? But again, you know, time will tell what comes out of this, but it just goes to prove you cannot have heroes in Bitcoin. Forget all these influencers. Everybody's only looking out for themselves. Nobody gives a shit about anybody else other than their own bottom line. You want the truth? Pick up a copy of the Bitcoin white paper, read what it's all about, and you'll very quickly realize that the truth is in full self-custody. You don't need to trust anyone except yourself by learning a few new steps, learning the skills, reading a few good books. People that are neutral, unbiased, that don't have any financial interest in pushing one message over another. That's the only way you win in Bitcoin. So for me, it's very disappointing, unfortunately, but, you know, I don't want to make any conclusions because, you know, the devil's in the details. So who knows what comes out of this, but eventually the truth will, you know, will come out and we'll see.
Yeah. So I don't want to, I saw a part of this, I think it was part of this clip. There was like a 7-minute clip. We're not going to share the whole thing. He did say, he talked about if you're an equities trader, then, you know, MicroStrategy makes sense. You understand that you're trusting someone else to custody this Bitcoin on your behalf. Otherwise, if you just want Bitcoin, take self-custody. Like he does say that. But he's losing me on the, in like, hopefully it doesn't sound like I'm simping for Saylor. I think we've criticized someone for the things he said enough, but I think with this, I'm not the most technical guy in Bitcoin, but to compare sharing your public addresses where you hold Bitcoin at a place like Coinbase with like sharing your family's physical address, like that analogy breaks down before it even begins. Those are two very different things. I'm a free market capitalist. If he doesn't want to share that, fine. I think it's a fair question for shareholders to say, hey, when are we going to get this? We want to see, we want to make sure that we're not investing in, you know, vapor, basically. So yeah, I'm disappointed by the response, because unless I'm just totally missing something, I think his comparison to, you know, sharing physical addresses of family members is just, it's not adequate. Rick, what do you think?
Yeah, there are too many inconsistencies in his messages lately. That's what I find a little troublesome. But yeah, I mean, take it away, Rick.
Yeah, I mean, I think sailors are fed. I don't know. you know, I'm trying
Hang
to
on,
find...
Rick, you're laughing. Rick, you're laughing. Are you serious or or you're not sure?
I don't know anymore. I'm kind of searching for Occam's razor. Like, what's the most simple explanation? And rightly or wrongly, my brain just goes, he's a Fed. He's a Fed, Rick. He's a Fed. Don't trust him, right? I mean, obviously, I'm joking around. Like, I have no idea what Saylor's up to. And in all honesty, I don't have to really worry about what Saylor's up to, because he's not looking after any of my money. He's not looking after any of my Bitcoin. So, you know, he can do as he pleases. Like you said, I'm a free market capitalist. But yeah, no, I disagree with him on the proof of reserves thing. I think, you know, look, as a marketeer, I kind of feel like I can see through a lot of narratives. And I think that there is a clear narrative there. And you picked up on it as well, Michael, which is there's a false equivalency going on here by saying, you know, him offering like a public address to show proof of reserves is the same as an individual doing it. Because, you know, I would give that advice to any private Bitcoiner, right? Like, definitely don't go on Twitter and start sharing all your public addresses and telling everyone how much Bitcoin you've got. That would be stupid. And, you know, there is a link between privacy and security. So there's a half argument there to say, okay, you know, but where his analogy breaks down is that, well, he's going on Twitter every day and saying, I bought 4,000 Bitcoin, I bought 3,000 Bitcoin, right? So he's still telling you that he's bought it. He's just not demonstrating that it actually happened. And yeah, it's a public blockchain, right? So, you know, if his security is good, people knowing that he owns it, you know, I formally can see that he owns it, I think is justifiable if you're a shareholder. I mean, I said it to you guys before this podcast started, right? Like, this feels like the next thing, right? Like, we had ICOs, that was a big mess. Then we had NFTs, and that was the next crazy trade that everyone got into. And I'm wondering, I'm starting to feel in the pit of my stomach that, like, maybe this treasury reserve, you know, stock play that everyone's piling into is going to be the next problem that blows up. Because ultimately, look, someone eventually has to be left holding the bag, right? If we move to a world where Bitcoin is money, everything is measured in Bitcoin, then you can't have a stock that trades at a premium to money, right? It can at the moment in our current weird fiat environment, but in the future, someone has to be left holding the bag. It can't outperform money, this stock, forever. So I don't know how this whole thing unwinds, but, you know, I get those little feelings. It's, you know, what gives me the feeling more than anything is that everybody holding MicroStrategy stock is now in what I would call a trust me, bro situation. And if Bitcoin has taught me anything, is never, ever get yourself into a trust me, bro situation. I mean, it's like Tony says, the whole point, go and read the white paper. Like, this is trustless money. So if you're moving into a situation that's completely reliant on trust, and loads of people might even sort of attack us on this because they're, you know, they're really into Saylor and MicroStrategy, but that just reveals that your MicroStrategy bags are way, way too heavy and your self-custodied Bitcoin bags are not heavy enough. You maybe have prioritized in the wrong place. Maybe you'll get bigger returns in the short term, but only because you're taking on a lot more risk. So I would play it safe and just buy the money. It's as simple as that for me.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree more with that. The one other thing I'll say in Saylor's defense and all this is I think it was later in the same video, he also talked about the way to do it today is you have a big four auditor come in and they're doing it like he's a publicly traded company, MicroStrategy is. So like they're going to have all of their financials divulged through an audit. Like they have to report that. I mean, there's so many requirements for these companies and you could hypothetically... I guess outsource your trust instead of to Saylor to, you know, ENY or
Standard
or KPMG.
And Poor and Moody's who didn't downgrade the CDOs in the 2008 crisis. Oh, great. Yeah, let's trust the big four. by the way, a well-known group of criminals. Like, yeah, the whole thing is a mess.
No, I completely agree. I'm not saying that that's better, because what you're still doing is outsourcing trust to some extent, having, like, because you've got the Enron situation through what, back in the early 2000s or late 90s or whatever, where they were all in on it together. It would be very easy for Pricewaterhouse to come in and do an audit and get some sort of, you know, and they, like, they only, I used to work for one of those firms. Like, they take samples, they don't, and then they extrapolate it because they don't have time to look at everything, right? So, yeah, anyway, everyone just be aware of the risks. First of all, it's not your Bitcoin, even if he has it and it does well. It's like the Bitcoin per share, metric is completely useless because it's not your Bitcoin for each share that you have. And just take self-custody. That's the best way to do it. All righty, guys. Up next, we have Trump Media Group to raise $3 billion to buy Bitcoin and crypto. So everyone's getting on board. Here, my basic takeaway is bullish. It's good to see, you know, private entities getting in. And my question is always, why don't they just buy it? Like, if they're cash flow positive, why don't they accept it for payment? Like, why are you guys giving them money to go buy Bitcoin that isn't yours if you have faith in Bitcoin? I just don't understand this. Like, these people, I wish, and all of them are, oversold. Like, what do they call it? Oversubscribed. Like, they issue debt, and everyone buys it up. It's crazy. I don't get it. But, Rick, why don't you take this one first?
Oh, my. I love Trump as a character, right? Like, it's the greatest show ever that we're watching. The first issue is obviously, you know, hardly worth pointing out. But crypto, you know, what does that mean? I don't have a lot of interest in these corporations or private entities buying Bitcoin, because all it means is more competition for us, more competition for the little guy. And if you're trying to get into Bitcoin via a third party, you've already made a mistake. So it's not dissimilar to the Saylor situation, where it's kind of just noise. It's just a distraction. So not something I'm going to pay a huge amount of attention to. Just like Trump coin, right? I'm not bullish on these funds. I think there will be bag holders at the end of it. And if they buy crypto, then we're about to watch a president get wrecked. I haven't seen that before. So I'll keep the cupboard stocked with Bitcoin, popcorn, right? And Bitcoin.
Well, no, Rick, we've seen Trump get wrecked. Remember when Joe Biden randomly had 20 million additional voters or whatever show up on election day for him? It's going to be the first time we've seen. And I think Trump's had, like, I don't know, 10 bankruptcies or something. Tony, what do you think?
These are the same mistakes, man, that continue happening, you know, year after year after year. People learn nothing. They don't want to learn anything. And they're just, you know, shoving the responsibility to someone else because they don't want to do the work. They don't want to break their heads. So they figure, oh, well, if it's a president's doing it, it has to be good, right? Same silly mistakes. So these people, you know, sooner or later will learn that lesson when everything goes sideways. Just because you're a president doesn't mean you're immune to financial collapse. And you're right. Why not buy the Bitcoin itself rather than going, you know, via proxy, even if it is a president making these claims? Who cares? Why don't you, you know, get it, you know, from point A to your self-custody rather than going through a third party, a completely unnecessary third party, which is a full counterparty risk. It makes no logical sense. And the only explanation I can have is just lack of education and the, you know, lack of willingness to learn. So, and hoping for the best. So, well, if that's how you're structuring your financial life, I've got bad news for you, my friend.
You know, the sad thing about this is, like, you guys have seen, like, people have, like, Nancy Pelosi stock watching, you know, like, apps or whatever. I don't know. And so they pay attention to what she's doing. There are a bunch of, like, diehard MAGAs who think Trump walks on water, and they're going to look at what Trump media does, and they're going to buy, you know, 20% Bitcoin and, you know, 15% ETH and 10% Solana or whatever. And then, like, they're all going to get wrecked because they thought he, like, knew something that they didn't know. And what the reality is, he didn't know that Bitcoin's the only option. There is no second best, ironically. But it's, funny, sad, everything at the same time. Alrighty, up next we have Aussie Senator Rennick calls Bitcoin a Ponzi, sparking backlash from the crypto community. And he says, you can't eat it. Guys, it's 2025. I wonder if he knows that you also can't eat gold and you shouldn't eat dollars, although I suppose it would be a little bit easier. And you can't eat MicroStrategy stock. But for some reason, this guy thinks his opinion is both valid and worthy of being heard. So, Rick, I'll let you take this one. Hey, Australia's falling apart. What we were talking, what was it? Unrealized capital gains we were just talking about a week or two ago. I mean, they are just
it's a
like,
mess. It's a mess down under.
Rick, what do you think?
Man, yeah, what can you even say? This guy is like, is clearly retarded, right? I don't know how else to put it. I mean, you can't eat Bitcoin, therefore it's not valuable. There's loads of things that are valuable that you can't eat. Like you've pointed out, you can't eat gold. You can't eat your car. You can't, I mean, I don't even know where to start with this guy. Like it was a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about that daft woman who was talking about her teeth. I do remember her. Like, you
your teeth,
why aren't my teeth worth $1 trillion? Because they're scarce or whatever. Now you've got this guy who's saying, oh yeah, and you can't eat it anyway. I mean, there seems to be some sort of connection here. I mean, these guys, how, the thing that bothers me is how do these people become senators? How the hell does that happen, right? But yeah, here we are. I mean, I feel a bit of pain for our friends down in Australia. They seem to be in the same sort of boat as we are in the UK, just We are ruled by the least amongst us, right? These people can barely do basic maths. Like basic economics is beyond them. Yeah, like you said, unrealized capital gains. I think in Australia's case, and probably the UK, we're all actually hoping this thing falls over soon because it just keeps getting more and more stupid. The sooner the whole thing just falls apart, we can start trying to rebuild it because there are smart and capable people in Australia and there are smart and capable people in the UK. We just need this insane clown world to creak and finally topple over so that we can, you know, there'll be a bit of pain on the way, but hopefully we can start rebuilding because this is just out of control now.
It's crazy, man. Yeah. Tony, why don't you give your comments, but then also maybe show our Plan B residency to our friends in Australia.
If you're in Australia, the first piece of advice I can give you is get out, man. The land down under is looking not so good these days. These retards have always been in power. The problem is they're parasites, right? All they know is how to steal. The problem is there's never been anything to shine light on their stupidity and their theft. Now there is. You know, Bitcoin is the beacon of truth, right? And so because it's growing in adoption and because it's bringing out so many truths, well, now these guys don't know how to act, right? They're caught off guard by this thing that they thought it was a scam a long time ago. But every week or every once in a while, something comes out that, you know, forces them to say or do something. And then they come out and blurt out something intelligent like this monkey. You know, he can't eat Bitcoin. So, you know, if that's the case, you know, somebody serve him a side dish of gold nuggets. Maybe he'll be able to chew on that. But, you know, these are the people that were voted in place. Like, these are the people representing the Australian people. Like, how do you, as an Australian citizen, accept this buffoon as the representative of your country, right? It's like almost an insult and disrespect to oneself. And now they want to also implement this unrealized tax gain, which is blatant criminal theft. It's like, you know, mob style. You know, we're going to take your money whether you like it or not. Whether you have 3 million, when you have 3 million, we're going to take it from you. And so if you think you're immune to that just because you don't have 3 million, you're delusional because once your money hyperinflates, you're going to get 3 million automatically, whether you like it or not, because your piece of toilet paper is going to be worth a lot more, not in purchasing power, but just in paper, in numbers on a screen. And so automatically, that number, that threshold is going to drip, 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 drip until it affects all of you. So if you're an Australian citizen with a little bit of common sense and the means to leave, I would strongly recommend you consider a Plan B. We can absolutely help you with that. This is not a sales pitch. This is just, you know, like a personal warning based on a movie I've seen before. It's not looking good. And these are desperate signs of an imminent collapse. When things get that retarded, it's because there's no other options.
Well said. All righty. Last one for you guys. So this is, we finally have something bullish. It's not just hacks and calamity in Australia, but $7 trillion Charles Schwab CEO says Bitcoin and crypto buying is coming for 37 million clients. Here, let's watch this brief clip.
We saw a 400% increase in the traffic to our crypto site at Schwab. 70% of those people were prospects. And so what that says to me is that when clients become interested in crypto and they've learned more about it, the first place they want to turn is Schwab because they trust us and they know we'll give them unbiased advice and that they can keep their assets safe with us.
Well, how do you get to spot crypto given the regulatory environment? What do you have to do? What do you need to hear from regulators for you to get comfortable with launching that?
I think there's a very clear path for firms like us to be able to launch crypto. There was a rule called SAB 131. What that rule did is it mandated that for every dollar of client crypto assets, we had to hold capital against that. Of course, client equities and client fixed income assets, we don't have to hold any capital against. But because people were particularly worried about crypto, you, as a bank holding company, we would have had to hold capital against it. That made it impossible for us to be in the market. That rule has been changed, and regulators broadly, other regulatory bodies have followed that guidance. And so I do think there is a clear path for getting this done. And we've spoken with our regulators, and again, we feel.
All righty. So Schwab is going to be off. You can already, he talked earlier in the video, you can buy ETFs and all these, you know, exposure and everything. Again, I think bullish that people are able to get in whatever way they see fit. I mean, I guess my takeaway and concern, this is like a debate a lot of people have, I think, and we've probably talked about it a lot. So there are a lot of people who think that ETFs are like a gateway into real Bitcoin. Like, oh, once you get some exposure, you start learning about it and everything. I'm sure there's going to be 10 people who do that. On average, I don't think that's the case at all. I think it's people are going to see the number go up and they're going to think they're getting rich, and they're only getting rich in, you know, dollars or fiat. And eventually they have to pay 20% taxes. They see a haircut on any gains that they've had. And they still end up with nothing in self-custody. And when shit hits the fan, they're in trouble. But again, it's bullish that like these institutions are coming. They're offering optionality. Maybe you get a couple of people who find real Bitcoin as a result of it. Tony, I know you probably don't care, but maybe give some commentary on Schwab getting in the game.
No, I'll echo exactly what you said. I mean, this is definitely bullish for Bitcoin. All these number go up dorks are going to be very happy because the number is going to go way up. But like you said, you know, it's if they're not holding Bitcoin themselves in full self-custody, then they're not holding anything. Profits in dollars is actually a loss. You've won nothing. You've won just more worthless paper that you're going to be taxed on and have to go through all the headaches of, you know, dealing with it. So yeah, definitely good. If you like watching numbers go up on a screen, this is definitely going to do it. All institutions are going to come into Bitcoin, you know, in one way or another. There is no other play here. It's the fastest horse in the race. And eventually, you know, they all learn that lesson. Their clients don't know any better. That's why, you know, they trust us. They trust you because they don't understand anything. But that's hopefully at some point, maybe a small percentage of them will, you know, opt out and, you know, withdraw their Bitcoin into their full control and, you know, pass the message to other folks, which eventually will hopefully lead to a larger percentage base of folks holding Bitcoin themselves.
Well said. Rick, any final thoughts?
Not a lot, really, to just sum up. I mean, I mentioned it before. This is another trust me, bro situation, right? And we've said you want to avoid those if possible. They've said, we're going to give you access to ETFs. We're going to give you access to futures. So they give you access to a whole load of things, except Bitcoin, right? Unless you hold the UTXOs, unless you hold the private keys, you do not yet own any Bitcoin. So avoid these trust us situations because they will get you wrecked. And it's quite funny when he mentions, or they come to us for education, because I can guarantee that is not a place where you're going to get a good education. They're not going to teach you about UTXO management. They're not going to teach you how to set up a wallet and make transactions. They're not going to teach you how to protect your privacy. So actually, all you're going to get is a paper promise for some Bitcoin. You're going to stay exactly where you are. You're not going to learn how to use the money that everyone's going to use in the future. And at some point, that is likely to come and bite you on the ass. And you're going to be left playing catch up going, oh my God, I do need to go and learn all that stuff. So instead of going to Charles Schwab for education, you know, go and learn how to use Bitcoin properly, buy it directly, cut out the middlemen. That's the whole point. So I guess it can pump the price. I also don't trust these kind of individuals not to sell you paper Bitcoin and all other sorts of crazy games. So who knows what it means for the future. Focus on what you can control rather than what you can't control. And those would be UTXOs and private keys. Everything else is a distraction. Everything else is noise. So yeah, keep your focus where it should be.
Amen. Well said, guys. Well, hey, thank you guys for joining. Rick, good to have you back. And we'll catch up again here in a couple of days. Hey, for everyone at the Bitcoin conference, if you see me in my black hat, gray t-shirt, say hi. Would love to chat with you. But gents, thanks for your time. I'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thanks, guys. See you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.